always a pleasure to be here. This very unsettling and discouraging when Brother JT is not here. We miss him. I know he's busy serving the Lord, and I pray that the Lord will bless him there in that place.
Amen.
And I'm quite worried about Sister Frida. May the Lord bless her and heal her, whatever her malady is. May she have a good time in the Lord wherever she's at. Okay. Today we're going to be in the book of Job.
Job. Oh, I thought you said Job.
I might have said Jonah. If I said Jonah, well, I made an error. We're going to be in Job. And I don't know, brother, I don't know whether I'm going to be in the first verse or the last verse. I said I didn't know whether I was going to be in the first verse or the last verse of the chapter.
The whole book.
Job had many problems down the line, just like we have many problems sometimes. I think I'm going to start with chapter 16 and read a verse there, see if I can find it with these thin pages, if this is where I wanted. And the scripture reads, Job, remember, had three friends that come over to console him and counsel him and had wisdom unto him because of all the misery that he was going through. And in chapter 16, Job says, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters are you all. And it's amazing how many times we'll begin to have a problem, Brother Jordan, and we want comfort. And the comfort that we receive, we really don't care anything about. We don't want to hear it. But Job says, miserable comforters are you all. Notice he said, are you all?
Yeah.
Verse 3 says, shall vain words... Now he's speaking, Job is speaking. He's been recorded by some writer. And this is what Job is saying. Shall vain words have an end? And he's speaking about his three friends that come over there and was giving him advice and counseling them. It was bothering Job. They were speaking what they thought was with great wisdom and something that anybody ought to understand. But Job didn't care about their words. Shall vain words have an end? He calls those words vain. Or what emboldened thee that thou answerest? Verse 4. I also could speak as you do. I can speak as well as you do. If your soul were in my soul's stead, if you were in my place, in other words. Well, my advice to myself is just as good as yours.
That's what we think a lot.
That's what we think a lot, yes. I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you. In other words, as his good friends began to speak, he would listen to it. But it wasn't something that important to him because he thought he could do it just as well advising his own self.
Yeah.
Verse 5, he said, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. My words, they come near comforting you, and your words comforting me. Now that's in my own words, but that's what Job is basically saying. Their words weren't really doing that much good for Job.
No.
Verse 6, though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, And though I forbear, what am I eased? How are your words going to do me any good? How are they going to comfort me? How are they going to keep me on the right trail? How am I going to overcome all of these calamities that's in my life because of you? Verse 7, but now he hath made me weary. Thou hast made desolate all my company. And thou hast filled me with wrinkles. Wonder why he says wrinkles, Brother Jordan. Wrinkles, I think of an old person with wrinkles like me. Fill me with wrinkles.
He's talking about being extremely concerned, like you're wrinkled your forehead.
Okay.
You're really concentrating, or it's real.
But those words weren't doing him any good.
Yeah. And what he's.
You have filled me with wrinkles.
Yeah, he's trying to figure out all this stuff, and they're not helping him.
Which is a witness against me, and my leanness rising up in my breath, witness to my face. Verse 9 says, He teareth me in his wrath. Who hateth me? He's basically saying, and this is the way I see it, he's accusing them of hating him. And everybody else around him also. Their advice is not any good for me, so you must hate me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me.
Joe felt like everybody was against him.
That's the way I felt this morning when I got up, Brother Jordan.
You can understand why he felt it, for sure.
That's right. And we'll look at some more of those in just a minute, if I have time. He teareth me in his wrath, who hateth me. He gnasheth upon me with his teeth. Mine enemy sharpeneth his eyes upon me. They have gaped upon me with their mouth. They have smitten me upon the cheek reproachably. This smiting up on the cheek, it's their words that was hitting Job upside the head. He didn't like their vocabulary, their words was smiting him up on the cheek. They have gathered themselves together against me. God hath delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over unto the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he hath broken me asunder. He hath also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces and set me up for his mark. His archers compassed me round about. He cleaveth my reins asunder and doth not spare. He poureth out my gall upon the ground. He breaketh me with breach upon breach. He runneth upon me like a giant. Job was feeling like he was in an awful predicament, an awful shame, an awful situation there. He had lost everything that he had. I had to call it everything. It sounded like it to me. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man.
Remarkable how singular that is to the prophecy concerning Christ and the actual fulfillment of those prophecies.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz. By the way, Abraham was also in the land of Uz at one time. And I had some thoughts on my mind, and They don't apply to anything, Brother Jordan. But could they have known each other? It doesn't say that.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but it was a thought that came across my mind. Could they have known each other? They both were there at one time. I don't know whether it was even at the right time, the same time. Dorothy, I really don't. Whose name was...
When Job lived. I don't think there's anything that tells us when he lived. It could have...
The commentaries seem to think that there was an overlapping of time in there, but they never have said anything. I hadn't read anything that says they were accused, related to each other, or knew each other. It didn't say that. But I wonder. But they were both, they were from an approximately the same amount of time. The way I see it, Brother Jordan, Abraham was there and went further for the Lord. Haran or someplace like that. Haran.
He went to the promised land.
But that was a long distance in many days. Job and that man was perfect and upright. Speaking of Job, he feared God. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed. Joel, what does eschewed mean?
Rebuff it to
I can hear you.
I'm trying to think of another word
for it's the too word. Deep.
It's to push away, to
okay,
to
that part of it,
to deny it, to
hate it,
yeah,
hate it, flee from it, flee evil, avoid it.
Yeah.
I think that's the first word that you see when you look at avoid it. Verse 2, and there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's a house full, Dorothy.
Yeah.
His substance also was 7,000 sheep. Now, Joel, if you have 7,000 sheep, and the next word says 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, a great household. I missed one. 3,000 camels. If he had all of those animals on his farm, he didn't have it in the backyard out here. Did he? No, he didn't. He didn't have it in my backyard either. In fact, if somebody puts a dog in my backyard, I'm ready to get rid of him. But if he had all of these animals in there, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 7,000 sheep, how large was that ranch? That's what we call in Texas a ranch. A very great household. Yeah, it was a... Now, when it uses the word household, it's not talking about those animals. It's talking about all those servants and family members that were there living in the same area, helping to take care of this situation. So that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. He was a great man. That's what I don't want us to forget. And yet, the Lord did some things to him and in him and with him to teach him a few things. And sometimes these things happen to us. Some things in our families happen to us to teach us a few things.
And we hope.
Yeah, right, we hope. So this man was the greatest of all men of the East. Verse 4. And his son went as sons. That's those seven sons went and feasted in their houses, everyone his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with him. The whole family got together. The kids got together.
Yeah.
For a, that's what some of my kids, they want everybody to gather together. To have fun.
Except Joe wasn't there.
Except Joe wasn't there. The reason he wasn't, he didn't die. Verse 5, and it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified them. Brother George, do you ever pray for your kids? It's off somewhere else. All the time. I mean, I don't know about you, but for my own self, I pray for my kids.
Yeah.
How foolish they are. Lord, have mercy on them.
Yeah.
Forgive them, Lord. Bring them through this ordeal. And rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. He continually prayed for his family.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know whether I've come across it or not, but all of these animals that were out there, Joel, somebody had to take care of them. They had servants. The servants would put them in certain pastures and see that they were fed. And thus did Job continue. He prayed for them. Okay, now in verse 6, it says, now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Okay. So, what it boils down to is, I'm not going to read the whole chapter book, but the whole thing was, Job lost everything he had. I wonder if he lost the house he was in. And the Lord said unto Satan, which comest thou? So the Lord turned Satan loose on the life of Job. And verse 8 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the day, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? A voice. You know what? Sometimes that's so hard to do, to avoid evil. Sometimes I won't get evil. I'll get even. Even. E-V-E-N. And that's not right. It's not right. It's a sin to try to get even. You can't always get even. You shouldn't try to get even. You should have a forgiving heart. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for nothing? For naught?
Got no reason.
Brother Jordan, do you fear God for no reason? Do I fear God for no reason? I don't believe so. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house?
There's robberies in the fear in him. The Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
That's correct. That's right. And Job tells us that in these 42 chapters. By the way, there's 42 chapters. I'm not going to read all of them. I promise. Thou hast
what he's saying there, of course, is that Job has every reason to fear God. There's no reason not to fear God, because he's got all this huge property and all these, this wealth.
It is wealth.
And service.
In the end, Job admits this, and he proclaims it. And in the end, God restores all of it to him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And before I go any further, it would be good for all of us to read the book of Job. I've read it twice, and Brother Jordan, I need to read it again. Verse 11, but not for thine hand now. Now put forth thine hand now. And touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's what Satan was telling the Lord.
Yeah.
You go down there and whatever you decide to do, well, you do it to him, and he will curse thee to thy face. But the Lord told him, but you can do everything you want to him, and can do to him, but you can't take his life.
Yeah.
You can't take his life. His life belongs to me. Job belonged to the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself, but not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. He turned around and walked off. That's my thoughts. Turned around and walked off.
I get that a lot.
Yeah. Job's afflictions. Well, what was his afflictions? He was in great peril and suffering. He had many heartaches, and he suffered because of all of this. Lost all of his camels, donkeys, and children, and all of his income.
That would be very hard.
It would be very hard. It would be a great suffering.
Yes.
And that's what Job was doing. He was greatly in great grief. Okay. Now Job's in verse 20. I'm going to go down to verse 20. Then Job arose and he rent his mantle and shaved his head. He suffered.
Yeah.
He shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Now that's what we're here for today, is to worship. And I don't think we really understand and comprehend what Job was going through. Now, I could come up with a few incidentals, Brother Jordan. Oh, I had a flat tire this past week. I was going somewhere, and I walked outside the front door, and that car had a flat on it, brother.
Yeah.
And I wasn't planning on having a flat tire. So I wasn't like, Linda, help! Well, I could do it, but it was torturous for me to get on my knees and down on the ground. And we had to change it. I was suffering.
Yeah.
I'm thankful I'm here today, and I'm going to worship the Lord. The Lord is my God, and He is my Savior. And whether there's some are missing here today, it's not good, but I'm here. But I'm here.
It is well with our soul.
It is well with my soul. Thank you. That's a good song. I like that song.
Yeah.
And said, verse 21, it said, naked come I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 22. I put a star by this one. Let's see what it said. In all this, Job sinned not or charged God foolishly.
Yeah.
When we have a bad situation in our life, that's not good. It's God's fault. How terrible that is. I've heard people say it though. When you have those bad pains and when you have the measles, Joel, when you have that virus, it's God's fault. Now God knows about it. Now, I don't want to get into that discussion right now, but we can't blame everything on God.
Well, we can't blame it on him, but all things are of God.
Okay.
All right. And that's not blaming him. It's
that's
just
right.
Acknowledging the fact that
we're in the hands of the Lord.
It's for our purpose.
He causes us to grow. He causes us to acknowledge who the Lord is.
And examine ourselves.
It does the people of God. It does the opposite for the unbeliever.
Correct. Amen.
He's murmuring and complaining right about it all the time.
They do that.
Question.
Well, things were very bad for Job. And I'll just read a few verses here in chapter 3 where it says, after this opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. What does that mean? He cursed the very day he was born.
Yeah. Jeremiah did the same thing.
And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there is a man child conceived. When that baby was born, and it was a little man child, everybody was shouting and praised the Lord. They knew it was of God. And the family there also rejoiced that it was a man child. Verse 4, let that day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. I can't comment anything there. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. He's wishing for his death. Why was he born? Why did it have to happen? Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let the cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, that darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined upon the days of the year. Let it not come unto the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. It's amazing. There's always so much rejoicing and happiness when a young child is born. Maybe not by the mother right then, but for the rest of the family, yes. Much joy, much celebration.
Well, I think regarding the pain and everything beforehand, I rejoiced at the birth.
At the very moment?
At the very moment they were born, and forgetting all the past.
Well, that's what happens.
Yes.
Rejoicing will come.
If a mother loves children.
Mm-hmm. Especially if they know the Lord.
Right. But others kind of do too.
Let them that curse it, that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. he was hoping and praying. It was a stillborn. That's what he was hoping for. He said it would have been better.
If he.
Verse 16. Or as an hidden, untimely birth, I had not been. As infants which never saw light. That's what he was hoping for. He longs for death. Verse 20. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and light unto the bitter end soul. Verse 22, which rejoiced exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. Now we could go on through here and we see where his good friends, I heard JT call them Baptist friends, and I've heard other people use that expression, these Baptist friends. There was Eliphaz just a minute, I'll give them. Zophar, that was the last one. Must have missed some. Bildad. Okay, that's three of them. Had three good friends. They were all given some kind of counseling or advice. And we already read chapter 16 over there.
Were they telling him it was all his fault? What kind of advice were they giving him?
That's right.
Breaking
him off the toes
for what he had done.
You
were essentially saying he was an ungodly man.
Yeah, right. It's all your fault. I agree with us. It's all you. It's not on us. We didn't have anything to do with it. It's all your fault. You're an ungodly. You ought to behave yourself.
Well,
but remember, we had read the scripture there where it said, it's cheweth evil.
Yeah.
And God had already stated that he was a perfect man.
Upright
man.
Yeah.
I don't have any more time, and I can't use that time up, but it would be good for each one of us to go through here and read especially the remarks that Job had, and then when you read those, you'll gladly go back and read and see what the friends had to say. In the past, when I began to think about the book of Job, the one scripture that always got my attention was the fact that Job would proclaim that in the end he would stand before the Lord.
Yeah.
In the flesh.
Right.
That's the one thing I can always remember. And we do need to remember that. But read it. Dorothy, I could stand here all day and read those.
I'm just thinking, we went through that book over and over and over at the First Baptist Church of Clydesdale with all of
them. We've used quite a few scriptures here from the book of Job. But it's a blessing.
In the beginning.
They are, but do it again.
Yeah.
And
there's a whole book here.
That's right. That's right. The whole book. 42 chapters of it. Or 42, I believe.
42.
And
well, the thing about it is, these things happen to our Lord, and that's what's comforted me in being accused of a wreck that I was not guilty of. And also, there have been people that have not happy with me, and I love them. And I thought David, whenever Simei cursed him out, and David told his, they were going to, his partners around him were going to kill Simei for David, that he was cursing him. And David said, let them be. Don't do anything. And as far as suing, there's been, I don't know how many times we could have sued.
That's the reason we need to stay in God's Word and read different portions of it. And the reason I was in the book of Job is because I don't know why.
The Lord met you there.
I was led there by something somebody else said, or I was thought of, or anyway, I picked out different books as the Lord lays it on me. And that's what I'm trying to do. And sometimes it's because of what's been preached, Mother Jordan. Okay. But it's a blessing to always stay in God's Word. And we should read a portion of it every single day. If you don't read it every single day, you're going to miss blessings.
I agree. I've missed some.
Brother Jordan, that's it. That's all I have.
Good.
I didn't know.
Sometimes we don't know what a blessing of God is.
That's right.
And when it's not. I think about it often this day and time. There is the birth of children being joyful. Christ himself talks about blessed are the paps that never suck. The day is coming when it's not going to be pleasant for the unbeliever, but it may not be pleasant either for the believers, because of the fact that there's going to be great distress and trouble in the land. But Job learned a great lesson, that all things are of God, and that they are according to his good will and his good pleasure. And Job knew a lot about God, but in the end, he comes down to this. He says, I have heard of him with the hearing of the ear, but now I see him
Amen.
With my eyes.
Amen.
All right. Some good thoughts there, and we do appreciate it. Okay, anybody have a hymn that you'd like to sing this morning? I guess if while you're thinking about it, number 423 seems to be go along with what we've just been talking about, reading the Word of God.
251 by Isaac Watts. I just read the first two lines.
Okay.
Well, the rest of it.
Well, I don't think we can pick a bad hymn out of here.
No, it doesn't look like it everywhere you look. It seems like it.
What number, brother?
251 is what she's talking about.